Parshas Bamidbar opens with census counting. The tribes, the numbers, the families of the Jewish people. And towards the end of the second reading, from verse 48 onward, the Torah turns its attention towards the Levites. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe leimer, God speaks to Moshe, saying, inasmuch as we counted all the tribes, there's one tribe that's not going to be counted. Ach, esmate Levi, lo yisifkeit. The tribe of Levi will not be counted. Ve esreisham lo yisisa. And their heads will not be proverbially raised. B'seich b'nei Yisrael. So we have something different going on here when it comes to the tribe of Levi. Now, when it says that the tribe of Levi is not going to be counted and that they are going to be different, it doesn't mean they won't be counted at all. It means they won't be counted in the same fashion. Let's take a look in Rashi of verse 48. Achas mate Levi leisifkeit. The tribe of Levi will not be counted. So it will not be counted amongst the Jewish people. B'seich b'nei Yisrael, it's not going to be counted. In other words, Shevet Levi's census will not take place along the lines of all the other census taking. However, they will be counted, but they will be counted individually. As we will soon see, the Torah will speak about the unique way in which the tribe of Levi is going to be counted. And why is all this? Rashi says, Kedaihu Legion Shel Melech, the king's legion, which is how the Levites are referred to, is appropriate for them, that they should be counted on their own. So because they're different than everybody else, because they've been set aside for a unique purpose, this is why the tribe of Levi will be counted in a separate and unique way as well. Davar Acher, another interpretation. Whenever we see a Davar Acher in Rashi, it means that the first interpretation does not fully satisfy the seeming discrepancy in the scripture or the idea that the Torah is conveying to us. I mean, after all, even if Levi has a unique purpose or mission, it doesn't mean he can't be counted. Really and truly, every single member of Am Yisrael has a unique mission. Everybody has a unique purpose. Are we not all the legion of the king? Are we not all Hashem's special children? So Levi has a special job. So that's a reason they shouldn't be counted. And anyway, they're going to be counted. So what's the difference? So therefore, Rashi adds another detail. Tzofa HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that God, of course, sees that there's going to be a decree leveled against all those who are counted. And this, of course, is connected to the Meraglim, to the scouts who went to the land of Israel and came back with a damning report. And everybody who was counted never made it to the land. Everybody who was counted was Miben Esam Shon of Amila, from age 20 and onward, and the decree was Sheyomusu Vamitra Vishadai in the desert. Omar, so Almighty God said, Aliyu Elo Bichlal, let the Levites not be included. Lefishahem Shali, because they have expressed a unique dedication to Hashem, they're mine, and as such, therefore, they should not be counted. And why are the Levites so special? So they got a special job that makes them special. So Hashem gave them a special job. Not so simple. Do you know why they got the special job? Rashi concludes by telling us, because Shaleto Be'egel. When it came to making a golden calf, everybody was involved in some way. One tribe forswore the golden calf altogether. And that was the tribe of Levi. Now, having said that, the women also did not get involved in the golden calf. And guess what? They didn't get counted, and they didn't die in the desert. Who died in the desert? The men. What were they involved with? The ego. So now we have an understanding, a rudimentary understanding of why the tribe of Levi is different. And it's so interesting that, I mean, without this Rashi, the whole cadence of the verses just doesn't flow. Because here in verse 49 it says, Achas mate Levi lo yitifkeit. The tribe of Levi doesn't get counted. And then the very next verse says, Va'ata hafke des halavim al mishkan ha'edos. You will appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of testimony. Va'al kol kelov and all of its utensils and vessels. Va'al kol ha'shalei on everything that is within its purview. Hema Yisu is a Mishkan. They will be the ones to carry the Mishkan. Ve'es kol kelov and all of its artifacts. Ve'heim Yishar Suhu, they will be the ones to serve in the Mishkan. And further, not only will they be the ones to serve in the Mishkan, not only will they be the ones to carry the Mishkan, but furthermore, Ve'soviv la Mishkan Yachanu, they are going to camp round the Mishkan. So first we hear about the Levites not being counted. So now we know the Levites are special. We don't know why they're special yet. We don't know what they're going to do that's different. Verse 50 comes along and says, and here's what they'll be doing, which is unique and special. They will be the ones who will serve in the Mishkan. And then we say, not only will they be the ones to serve in the Mishkan, but they will be the ones to camp around the Mishkan. So Rashi says that the term hafked, which sounds very much like counting. He just said Levite's not getting counted, and then it says hafked. Pekida is to be counted. So what does it mean? So Rashi says, if you want to understand this verse, you should look at the Targum. How does Unkelus render it? Kitagume Unkelus renders it as mani. Mani is Aramaic for l'shein minu yisrara, being appointed to a position. So you ever hear the expression, stand up and be counted? But it doesn't actually mean being counted. It's not about numbers altogether. It means to be prepared to do the job. So here, the terminology pikud, or hafked, does not mean counted in the numerology sense, not as far as census taking is concerned, but rather that they should stand up and be counted, as in being appointed to a position of great importance and prominence. And this is, says Rashi, al davar shu memuna alav, something that you will be counted for. And he brings an example from a very interesting pasuk, which is found in the book of Esther. That it says over there, vayafked hamelech pikidim. And what does that mean? It means the king will appoint people. Who are these pikidim? Pikidim are the officers. What was their job? Oh, they had a very important job. They were going to gather all the beautiful girls so Achashverosh could have a lot of fun. Fine. But the point is, they had a job. He didn't count them. Doesn't matter how many eunuchs were in charge of the harem. The point is, who was going to make this happen? And the answer was, Achashverosh appointed the people he trusted. He found worthy of carrying out this mission. And so we see that the word pikadon, which usually means counting, could also mean the concept of appointment. And then this is what it means with regard to the Levi. That's va'ata hafked. So the Shach HaLatayra, the Sif Sikoyan, asks a very interesting question. He says, why is it that when it comes to all of the Jewish people, before we hear about how they camp, and before we hear about what they do and where they go, the first thing is we count them. That's number one. With the Levites, the first thing we hear about is the appointment. And only afterward do we go ahead and count the numbers. Wouldn't it make sense to know what your numbers are first? And then you can give them a job. So the Sif Sikoyanim says, there shouldn't be any shame or scorn for the Levites. What's the Levites' shortcoming? The tribe of Levi was fantastic from a perspective of spiritual stature. What were they lacking? Numbers. Numbers, very small tribe. And so, if we would start to count up their numbers, they wouldn't measure up to the other tribes. They would be like the least of the tribes. Now, Hashem doesn't want those in charge of the Mishkan to be presented in the Torah as the least of the tribes. The numbers will come out, but let's delay those numbers rather than promote those numbers. Instead of put those numbers up in lights, let's put those numbers in the back. And therefore, we emphasize what they did rather than the numbers. In other words, the only time you want to talk about statistics is when the statistics look good. And a lot of times when people commission these studies and they have statistics, only after they see the statistics they decide if they're going to release the statistics. Otherwise, they release something else. They talk about accomplishments, achievements, statistics. We'll talk about numbers later. Right? The company has to make its annual report. If the numbers look bad, talk about what was done this year. Talk about something else. You'll bury the numbers afterwards. So here is the same thing with Levi. The Sif Sikoyanim says that's the order of the psukim, the verses here. Now, we hear in the Chumash now about the details of this traveling. Verse 51, Uvinsoya HaMishkan, when the Mishkan will travel, Yeridu Aisoy HaLeviim, the Levites are to be the ones to dismantle it. Ubechanois HaMishkan, when the Mishkan will settle, Yakimu Aisoy HaLeviim, who will erect or put up the Mishkan? Once again, it's the Levites who will be doing that as well. And here the Torah says something very important. Whose job is it? The Levites. I'm not a Levite. What if I want to participate? This is a big deal. All the time it has to be Levites. Can it be me? Maybe I'm from Yehuda, Binyamin, Naphtali, Gad, or Asher. I also want a piece of the action. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in his Torah, don't have such ideas. Because Hazor HaKarev, the stranger, the one who's not appointed, the one who doesn't belong doing this job, you must. He ain't going to last. he's going to die. Not that there's going to be a tribunal or a court, but Hashem promises you that's the way it's going to be, as we'll see in a moment in Rashi. Rashi says, Yaridu Eisai. What does it mean, Yaridu? Lower it? Dig a hole? Lower. What does it mean to lower the Mishkan? So Rashi says, lowering the Mishkan, once again, look in the Targum. He interprets the word, or translates it, as not in a non-literal sense. He says, Yaridu means Yifarkun. Yifarkun means to dismantle, to take apart. Kishaboyin Lisa Bamidbar. When the Jewish people, when the Hebrews would move through the desert, masa la masa, from journey to journey, encampment to encampment, hayu mifarkin oisei mahakamase. So the Levites would dismantle it from its standing state, v'neisen oisei, and then they would carry the pieces, and they would go through the desert ad mekayim hashayishkan, until where the cloud stopped, sham ha'anan. When the cloud stopped and settled, they knew, ah, this is where God wants us to settle. Once they knew where God wants us to settle, the Yachanu Sham. So they would camp there. And how would they camp? What was the first thing that would happen? The Levites, Makim and Isai, they would establish the Mishkan. And then the Mishkan would be established, and everybody would camp around the Mishkan. So this is how we travel through the desert. The Mishkan, God's presence at our center, going from place to place. The Levites taking the Mishkan apart, coming to the new encampment. The Levites putting the Mishkan up. And then we, the Jewish people, camp around the Mishkan. So now we understand the idea of v'yaridu oisei, that taking down doesn't mean take it down literally, as in down a notch, but it means taking it down as lowering, meaning dismantling. Now it's interesting that the Torah says u'b'nisoya ha-mishkan, when the Mishkan travels. What does it say? U'b'nisoya Yisrael, when the people traveled, the camp traveled, the nation traveled. Why the Mishkan traveled? So the answer, in a way, says the Emek Dover, is as follows. That you shouldn't think that the Mishkan's leaving as if it's leaving the Jewish people, as if something, God's presence is changing. The Mishkan moves, the people move. It goes together. We follow the Mishkan. So the Mishkan coming down, and ultimately that becomes the paradigm of the Jewish people's journey through the desert. Where God's presence moves, that's where we moved. Unfortunately, later on we go into exile, and there it goes the other way around. We move, God follows us, not the other. But here we were in Golos. Here, God, when God is with us, the Shechina goes, we simply follow the Shechina. Hazor HaKarev, the stranger who come forward, the Torah says, he'll die. Come forward for what? Rashi says, La'avodah samzu, to participate in this activity. You must, how will he pass? V'idei shamayim, by the hands of heaven. So he won't be incarcerated, he won't be arrested, no courts will prosecute him, but Hashem promises, it's not going to be well, not going to go good. And now, the Torah says, so now once the Mishkan is set up, how will the rest of the Jewish people camp? V'chanu b'nei Yisrael, the Jewish people, the children of Israel will camp, ish al machaneu, each person on his camp, v'ish al digloi, and each one on his banner, or on his flag, l'tzivaisam, according to their hosts and arrangements, and we'll hear more about that later on. Ish al digloi, Rashi says, k'moish ha'digolim sedurim b'sefer zeh, as the banners or flags were going to be arranged in this book, we read this later on in the next chapter, Shlesha Shvatim Lachol Degel, three tribes for each banner. So we had 12 tribes, but the 12 tribes were subdivided into four separate groups. Three tribes under each banner. And they would camp under their banners around the Mishkan. All right, so now we know about the Levites not being counted. We know about the Levites getting a special appointment. We know about the traveling of the camp of Israel, how the Levites would be playing a critical role in the dismantling and putting the Mishkan back up. And we also know how the people of Israel will travel and how they will set up their camp. More or less, not in details, but at least in a vague way, now we know how this is going to work. The Torah comes along in verse 53 and says, V'halavim, and the Levites, Yachanu Savulu Mishkan Eidos, they're going to camp around the tent or the tabernacle of testimony. V'le'yir ketzef ala das b'nei Yisrael, there will be no wrath that flares forth on the congregation of Israel. V'shomru halavim es mishmeres mishkan eidus. The Levites, they will guard and watch the tent or the tabernacle of testimony.
This is the first time they're traveling since receiving Torah from Sinai?
This is the first time they're going to be traveling. That's correct.
Okay,
yep.
So the whole, from Shmot to through Vayikra, they've always been stationed.
Yeah, we had a little rain delay called the Egel. After the Egel, there was like a period of uncertainty. And then finally, God forgives us. And then after God forgives us, he says, make a Mishkan. So we make a Mishkan. And then we had the first Pesach. And everything is great. And then it's time to move on. When does that happen? In the Chodesh Iyar. In this month. But at the beginning of it, not the end. This is a very strange verse. It's a strange verse because it seems out of place. In verse 49, we hear about Levi not being counted. In verse 50, we hear about Levi being appointed. In verse 51, we hear about the Mishkan and the Levites camping around it. In verse 52, we hear about the children of Israel camping. And in verse 53, we go back to the Levites who are camping. How does that order go? Now, and we already said what's going to happen. What happens if a stranger comes close? You die. Okay. And what happens now? What did you learn now in verse 53? The Levites should camp round. There'll be no wrath. What do you think wrath, God's wrath, looks like? Yeah, probably like when body and soul separate. That would be like a good indicator of God's wrath. So it's almost like we start developing a point, go away from it, and go back to it. And this has to be understood. In the subsequent verses, we hear, "Vayasu bnei Yisrael kechol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe kenasa." The Jewish people did exactly as they were told. For a change, we did exactly as we were told, and that means there was no strangers that got involved. Rashi says, "Valiya ketzef," there'll be no anger. Says Rashi like this: "Im tasu kimitzvosi," if you'll do according to my orders. So God says, "La yeah, ketzef," then there will be no wrath. Just follow orders. It's very simple. Just do as I tell you. They love. But if you will not follow orders, if you will not listen to me, meaning, what's the not listening? What's the disobeying? Sheyikansu zara b'avedasam, that those who don't belong in the position will mix and meddle and get involved. B'avedasam zu, in that case, yeah, ketzef, then there will be wrath. And where do we, what is the wrath? We commission Metzino B'maisa Kerdach. You hear later about Kerdach, there was wrath. Unfortunately, Kerdach tried to usurp the job of Aaron HaKohen. And here it's Levites trying to take the Kohen's job. So that's another line of scrimmage trying to be moved, and more divisions trying to be taken down. And how does that end? Not very well. There was wrath against the Jewish people. As we know that in the aftermath of the story of Korach, there was a terrible plague that swept through the Jewish people. So Hashem says, don't try to erase these lines. They're not artificial. They're real borders and lines. They have to be kept and respected. And these divisions must be kept intact. So we're going to take now a few minutes to analyze the order of these verses. Page Yud Zayin. Page Yud Zayin. This is Simon Tess in the Biurim book, the ninth entry of Parshas Bamidbar. So the Rebbe asks a number of questions here. It's pretty clear that what ketzef, what wrath means. It's pretty clear. I mean, Rashi explains it. If you do what I say, things will be fine. If you don't, we already said that. The stranger will come close. You must. Somebody's going to die. It's not good. So Rashi, the Rebbe asks a number of questions. Question number one. You see it in the bottom of the page. L'shem ma'atzarach ha'kosov la'chzer shuv al'inshem shal zorim anachnasim la'vedis al'viyim. Why is it that the Torah has to repeat the punishment a second time? When we already talked about the punishment. Already in verse 51, we said hazar ha'korev, you must. The stranger will come close, he's going to die. And then in verse 53, again, v'liyeh ketzef. And Rashi explained, do as I say, everything will be fine. Violate my orders, disobey, it won't be good. Then it'll be ketzef. Why does it have to be repeated like that? You already said Hazara Karev Yumes. It's pretty clear. If it would say Ketzef the first time, it doesn't say what Ketzef is, maybe we'd have to explain now. By the way, wrath of God means body and soul separation. But once you already said what it's going to be, namely, Hazara Karev Yumes, somebody's going to die, so you have to talk about wrath? We know somebody's going to die. We already told what's going to be. We know what's going to happen. Isn't that clear enough? That's question one. And question two is, Madua mafsik akosov. I already raised this question before. Why does the Torah seem to interrupt? There's an order of these verses. You know, like it's like detail after detail after detail. We heard about the census taking, and then we go through the census taking, and people who are going to be appointed in census taking. We finish taking those census, then we say, Levite, no census. Hey, why not? Different. Special. What about the Levites? We talk about their appointment. And then once we talk about their appointment, we talk about their mission. And we talk about their mission. We say nobody else should try to play this game. It's only for the Levites. If you try it, you die. Then we go to the camping of the Jewish people. Then we go back to the Mishkan. Why don't we just end the subject? Say the Levites camp here, and that's the way it has to be. So the Rebbe says that Rashi is actually answering these questions, but the exact verbiage that he chooses. He says, I'll remind you of the words of Rashi. Im tasu kimitzvasi, if you'll do like I ordered, if you'll follow my commandment, so then lo yeh ketzef. Hamilim im tasu kimitzvasi, the words that Rashi uses, if you'll follow orders, if you'll do what I told you to do, misyachsis, these words